Parshas Vayishlach, Tavshin Peyalef. So tonight, we have the zechus of going through a mitzvah that's in this week's parsha, one of the three mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis that are there, the mitzvah of not eating the Gid HaNoshe. And we'll go through the sugya and discuss some of the various aspects of this iser. We'll go through it. It's a very unique mitzvah in many ways. So we'll talk about the unique aspects to it. It really establishes certain fundamental yesodos in mitzvos. And we have some beautiful hashkafa at the end of this year related to the mitzvah. And hopefully we can actually connect to Hanukkah as well. So we know that in this week's parasha, the beginning of the parasha, Yaakov is getting ready to encounter Esav. And he prepares and gets ready for war in three different ways. And as, you know, as he's approaching Esav, he crosses over for Eretz Yisrael, and his family is there and everything, and he realizes, oh, I forgot something, goes back. And when he gets back, he has a fight with the Malach, and the Pesukim tell us, you know, what happens at the entire encounter, that Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayavek Ishimo Ad Alos HaShachar, become a famous song. Vayarki lo yachol lo. The Malach realized he can't beat Yaakov Avinu. Vayiga bechaf yirecho. Vateka kaf yarech Yaakov behafko ima. So he gave him a good hit. He gave him a good patch. And he hit him in the hip, in that area. And he, Yaakov, you know, and Yaakov, as they were fighting. So they have a conversation, a back and forth, not so relevant to the mitzvah itself. But what's interesting is after all this happens, after Yaakov Avinu's name is changed to Yisrael, so the Torah then tells us in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh kasher avar alas pinuel v'hu tzolei yirecho, that Yaakov, right, the sun rose and Yaakov was limping. And then the next Pasuk says, Al Kain, therefore, lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael skir anashe asher akaf hayerech ayah yom hazeh, ki naga b'chaf yerech Yaakov b'gir anashe. Therefore, b'nei Yisrael shouldn't eat the gir anashe, they shouldn't eat this sciatic nerve, this part of the animal, and we have some diagrams tonight in the Makaros, just to be able to understand where it is within the animal. Because Yaakov Avinu was hit in his kaf hayerech, ad yom hazeh, we don't eat the kaf hayerech, which is the gid hanasha. So, very interesting idea. Yaakov Avinu got into a fight with a malach. Because he got into a fight with a malach, the Torah then comes ahead and tells us, don't eat from the area that he was hurt from by the malach. Bizarre. We have an issur l'dori doros, a prohibition for all future generations, not to eat from an animal, a certain part, a limb of that animal, because Yaakov was once upon a time, historically, the Torah tells us in a story, hit by a malach there. You have to understand what that is. What's that all about? How does that work? It's pretty strange. And we have to go through that. I neglected to mention that tonight's shir should be lezuchoser for Shlema, for Rav Yehuda ben Rivka Leir, like Kelomer, who is in need of our tefillos, and Rachmei Shemayim Baruch Hashem, it sounds like he's doing a little better, but certainly still needs our tefillos. Our learning tonight should be lezuchoser for Shlema for him, and as well as Miriam Chana Bas Tov Yachet, who went ahead and had a very serious procedure this week, and she should have her for Shlema Bokaro. So, what's this all about? So let's look at the chinuch. The chinuch. Yes. Ellie has a question.
What's it called? So the malach hit Yaakov in the Gidon Hashem, right? So why does this apply to an animal?
Good question. That we're going to have to understand. Well, we don't eat people. So the best way, I guess, to have something corresponding to to Yaakov Avinu to create some sort of iser related to where he was hit and injured.
Why does that have to do with eating?
So what does that have to do with eating? So we're going to have to understand what the connection is. The whole thing's bizarre. You know, you have a story. Usually there's a sermon in the Torah that says, do this, don't do that. And there's reasons rarely given. Here we're given the reason of a story that happened once upon a time with a person, a malach, that hit Yaakov Avinu. It's a spiritual battle that happened. Malach isn't a physical thing. It's very difficult to understand, but we're going to have to try to understand the pnimius HaTorah behind this mitzvah. But let's understand the mitzvah. So there's this iser of eating the Gid HaNoshe. So if we look in the chinuch in Mitzvah Gimel starts as follows. Vayishrach yesh ba mitzvah lo seachas v'yatzaras geranasha ne'emar kein ol socho. So lo yoch l'bnei yisrael geranasha. So he says v'hai lo yoch l'ne'emar derech sipur klomar b'nei she'era dover zeh ba'av nimnoim ha'bonim ele'echol oso gid ela'az haras Hashem shelo yoch l'hu. It's a little different gear, so than what I have in front of me, but the chinuch says that the fact, the phrase of do not eat isn't stated to just tell us like a story, like don't eat as part of what happened. Because it happened to Yaakov, meaning his children, his literal children, shouldn't eat, his bonim shouldn't eat. Rather, it's azhara from Hashem that we shouldn't eat it forever. It's not just Yaakov's children. Don't get confused, the chinuch starts off with, and think that this just applies to Yaakov's children because Yaakov is the one that was hit. No, it applies to each and every one of us, or Klal Yisrael, Ladari Darvis. Then he goes ahead and discusses Misharshei HaMitzvah, which we're going to save till the end as part of the Hashkafa. He says, Dinei HaMitzvah. So Dinei HaMitzvah, some of the laws of the mitzvah. Ma'u HaGid HaAser. So what is this Gid that's Aser? So he says, it's HaChitut She'anu Chayavin L'Chatet Acharav. It's the porging, the removing and scraping that we're required to do to clean out all around it. So there's a certain, if you look on the next page, where we have, or the back of your pages, we have a diagram of what the Gid HaNasha looks like. I think this is just from the Art Scroll of Gemara Chulin, I found it online. But the Gid HaNasha, if you could see, is over in the top left. It's that nerve that runs through kind of the back part of, is this a cow? I don't even know, but so I think it's a cow. A cow. And the very difficult part of the Gid HaNasha is that it's kind of really inside. It's very hard to, there's a process, the process in halacha is called nikur, which is the process of removing the Gid HaNasha. It's very difficult to access the just the Gid and only remove the Gid when its surrounding parts are, it's kind of like in there. It's really baked into the animal. It's not so simple to just pull out the Gid alone without the areas around it. That's why I remember when I started my job, my boss, who is a secular Jew, always used to ask me, why can't you eat filet mignon? Why can't you eat these, you know, different kinds of steaks that are delicious and tasty and great? And the answer is, you can, if there's a place that actually can, it's very difficult to do it, but to remove the Gid HaNasha with keeping the very delicious meaty parts that are around it. Like, I don't know much about meats, but I'm not a butcher, I'm not a shochet, but the sirloin steak, all those kinds of things are kind of around this area, and when you kind of clean it out, you there's chaylev there also, there's all different kinds of things that are difficult to just, you know, just pull the Gid. So, to that extent also, the Ramah actually quotes that it's not enough to learn the halachos of how to remove a Gid HaNasha from the Gemara. You actually have to have a Rav who teaches you. Lamaisa, practically, you have to be shown how to remove the Gid HaNasha. That's how complicated it is. It's not like a theoretical thing where you just understand the concept, oh, is a Gid HaNasha now? Okay, pull it out. No, that's not enough. You have to have a Rebbe to teach you. The Ramah paskins that in Hilchos Yerdeya. So that's the Gid HaNasha. That's what the Dinei HaMitzvah is at the beginning of the Chinuch. It says, V'yeser pratem v'varim perik, v'ezo behem and oheg, v'min ne'eman anikor v'yeser pratem. All the various halachos are discussed in the seventh parak of Chulin. V'nohegetz b'chol makom b'chol zman, v'zecharim v'nekevos, and it applies in all generations and to men and women, right? It's a lo sasei. And he concludes by saying, and if you go ahead, and this is a big chiddush, and we're going to have to understand this, right? What's your question? Pachos mikazayas. Right? You eat pachos mikazayas. Eli, generally, by ma'acholos asuris, which are forbidden foods, things that are usher to eat. Pig, treif, whatever it is. There's a shear. Yom Kippur, there's different shear, but there are shearim. And a kazayas is a standard shear. If you eat, kazayas is a standard shear for good and for bad. For bracha rishona on a food, we say it on a kol shehu, but a bracha achrona is on a kazayas. That's the shear that we use. A kazayas is the size of an olive. Question. Big olive, small olive, middle-sized olive, it's a whole thing. But it's a certain measurement. But there has to be a certain amount that you go ahead and eat of something that's usser generally for you to violate the isser d'oraisa. For sure. The concept of chatzi shear, There's different concepts, but the Sefer HaChinuch says beferish that if you eat less than a kezias of the Gidon Asha, meaning take a tiny little bite of the Gidon Asha, or you eat the entire Gidon Asha and it's less than a kezias, you're in trouble. No. Big problems. So we have to understand what that's about. What's unique about Gidon Asha? So let's look at some of the, before we get into that halacha, let's look into a fundamental machlok as seen Rashi and the Rambam in Gidon Asha, which applies to all mitzvahs in general. So if we look at source number 4, the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kufa Medbeis tells us as follows. It's a big machlokas, and I need your help understanding here, and we'll get to Mati the question of the shir, but that will be the next topic. But I need help understanding the last line in the Mishnah here. So let's pay attention. Noheg b'tahora ve'ino noheg b'tameya. Did ha'nasha, the iser only applies by an animal that's tahor, a kosher animal, and not an animal that's tameh. That's the opinion of the Tanakham. Rabbi Huda Omer af b'tameh. Rabbi Huda says no. Even by tameh animal, the iser of Gidon Asha would apply. So you have an animal that has the Gidon Asha that's tameh, whatever type of animal it is, you'd violate perhaps two isurim. Oh, complex sugya of iser chal, iser in iser chal, iser multiple isurim at one time, the vasachas, but he holds that the iser would apply of Gidon Asha if you would eat an animal that's tameh, and you eat the Gidon Asha, that's usur as an iser of Gidon Asha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Machlokas Tanakama Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to the Tanakama, Vahalo mibne Yaakov Nasar Gidon Asha, Vahadayim Behema Mitaneya Muteris Lahen. Says Rabbi Yehuda to the Tanakama, wait a second. From the Bnei Yaakov, from that time, is when the Isser of Gidon Asha existed. And if the Isser of Gidon Asha existed at the time of Yaakov Avinu, at the time of the children of Yaakov Avinu, well, at that time everything was Tameh. There was no concept of Tahor and Tmeya. So obviously, it would apply to a Tameh animal. The Torah wasn't given yet. We don't know what animals are kosher, what animals are treif. Say they're Abanan, and this is the key line that we need to think about what these six words mean, five words mean, but a lot of Torah on it. Amru lo, the Rabbana responded, B'sinai ne'mar, Elo shenechta b'mkoma. The Rabbana responded and said, it was said over at Sinai, but it was written in its place. Now what does that mean? What's the response of the Rabbana? We have Machlokis, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the Isser of Gidon Asha applies Behema Tameya. Tanakama says no, Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I have a raya. It's taught by Yaakov Avinu and his children, and then there is only Behema Tameya. Behema Tameya is, you know, is what we had. The Tanakama responds, say no, B'sinai ne'amar ala shenechta b'mkom. So what pashup shot, what does that mean?
The Torah is telling us, you know, not chronologically, but when it makes sense in the story of Yaakov Avinu, we can mention Gidon Asha, but we were mitzaved at Sinai.
So therefore, since we were mitzaved at Sinai, it only applies to the behema tahoras, because that's when we are introduced to the mitzvah itself. Okay. So that's probably the pashut answer. So let's see. So there's a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam. Major machlokas. Rashi writes as follows. Rashi says, Amrulo, so the Rabbanan responds to Rabbi Huda. Pasuk Zeh She is Hiru, or in source number 5 on page 2. So Pasuk Zeh She is Hiru, Allah B'Sinai Ne'mar V'Ad Sinai Lo Huzeru Ela Shenechta B'Mkoma Lo Ocha Shenemar B'Sinai V'Chasa B'Seder Moshe Esatara. Right, so this pasuk, what's interesting is there's no other time in the entire Torah Gidon Asha is mentioned. It's not repeated anywhere. This is the only source in the entire Chumash that we have for the Isser of Gidon Asha is by the story of Yaakov and the Malach and Al Cain that you shouldn't eat the Gidon Asha. So Rashi says that this pasuk, which is warning us, which was said over at Sinai, Ne'amar v'ad Sinai lo zhuzeru, until Har Sinai, we weren't mazir in it. It was just written in its place, the Ocher Shenemar B'Sinai, the Chas B'Sidei Moshe Es HaTorah. Until Matan Torah happened, there was no Isser of Gidon Asher, Rashi says. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to write down the Torah, Hashem told him, insert this pasuk, this mitzvah, of Al Cain, by the story in Parshas Vayishlach, so that we know there's an Isser of Gidon Asher. But until Matan Torah, there was no Isser. The Isser didn't exist. This pasuk, this story happened with Yaakov and the Malach when it happened. But Hashem told Moshe later on, by Matan Torah, where to put this pasuk in. So that's Rashi's opinion. Rashi is a big, you know, a certain chiddush, because why? Then Rashi's holding that there was this Isser that existed before that didn't exist before Matan Torah. Oh no, it existed. Did not exist. One second. What?
It did not exist.
It did not exist before Matan Torah, because until Moshe Rabbeinu inserted this pasuk in Vayishlach about Al-Kain, it wasn't there. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos says a different pshat. The Rambam says as follows. If you look in source number 6 on this mission in Chulin, Perek Zion, the Rambam writes as follows. He says, V'hu Amra Misinai Ne'amar, V'hu, so when the Tanakhama responds to Rabbi Yehuda, Misinai Ne'amar, says as follows, She'ata Tzarech Ladas, and this is a fundamental yesod that the Rambam has in mitzvos. You need to know, She'kol ma'sha'an nisar mimenu osim oso hayom, inan osim zos elu neitziva Hashem ha'idei Moshe. The only reason that we do mitzvos nowadays is because Hashem told Moshe, and it was in the Torah. Not because any Nevi'im were commanded in it beforehand. And he gives examples. We don't not eat Eivir Menachai. Eivir Menachai is not Oster for us because in Parshas Noach it was mentioned and it was forbidden then. Ella mitnei shemosa Moshe asar alenu Eivir Menachai b'mashin etzvena b'sinai shi'ishar Eivir Menachai iser. It was only because Moshe at the time of Har Sinai made Eivir Menachai asar and put in it was in the Torah then. V'chein ena namal miglal she'avramal. We also don't do bris milah because Avravino, who was a navi, one of our avos, he went ahead and did bris milah. Esat mivan shevesol neisha yatzivanu al yidei Moshe limo k'mosh shekol. Shemal Avram Olav Hashalom. He says, "V'chein Gira Nasha Einan Nimshachim Bo Acharei Yisri Yaakov Avinu Elatira Moshe Rabbeinu." Halatira Amram Sheish Mios V'Shalosh Esrei Mitzvos Nemru Lo LaMoshe V'Sinai V'Chol Eile Miklal HaMitzvos. So, what the Rambam is saying is a very big yisod, and that the Tanakhama was responding that yeah, it was put into the this Isser, even though the pasuk is there. It didn't go into effect, and the only reason it exists for Klal Yisrael is because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzaveh to us. If Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't mitzaveh to us, it wouldn't matter that Yaakov Avinu, you know, was given this prohibition at that time. It wouldn't matter that Bris Milah Avram was commanded to do Bris Milah. We wouldn't have to do Bris Milah. It's only because Moshe went ahead and made us do that. So whereas Rashi, and help me out here, says, what's the machlokas? What was the status of these Yisurim before Matan Torah? Rashi holds, was there an Isser before Matan Torah? Before Matan Torah, did the Isser exist? I don't think so. No. Right? There was no Isser until Moshe Rabbeinu came along and put that Pasuk into Parshas Vayishlach, Al-Kain, as an Isser. The Rambam, though, we are now Mitzuveh on this, but it existed. It wasn't Moshe came along at the time of Matan Torah and put that Pasuk in there. And, you know, it wasn't there beforehand. We just aren't mitzuvah in it until then. But it might have existed prior. It was already there. Yaakov Avinu, this pasuk was there. Yaakov Avinu, for Avram, for Bismillah, for Bnei Noach, for Avram Menachai, for Yaakov, and his Bnei Bana, for Gina Nasha. So there was some sort of pre-existing Isser. But we're only mitzuvah in it because of Moshe Rabbeinu going ahead and commanding it. So it's just a interesting machlokas is to how to understand the response of the Tanakh commentary of Yehuda, but it really comes from this of Gira Nasha, where this mission discusses whether or not it applies by Behema Tamei or only Behema Tahora. So now on to another topic, and it relates to what we discussed earlier. The Chinuch mentioned that even if you have a less than a kezias of the Gira Nasha, you violate the Isser. You violate the Isser of eating the Gira Nasha. And what's the reason for this? So it's a whole complicated sugya in Yoredeya that we probably will just cover in about 4 or 5 minutes. But there's a concept in Yoredeya, the halachos of beria. The halachos of beria means that there's even though there are measurements for Isserim in general, if something is its own independent object, and we have to understand what that means, it's a beria, it's in and of itself something, it has a status in and of itself, then even if it's pachos mikazayis, it is aser. And if you eat from it. So, and beria is not batal. Usually we hold isurim are batal, right? There's a concept of batal. Berov, beshishim, min beminom, min beshenomino. All complicated concepts. Beria, we hold it is not bottle ever. And so we have to define what a beria is. But really, best way to describe it is it's a complete unit of creation. And it's like a bug, right? A bug in a food is not bottle because it's a beria. So even if it's less than a kezias, a bug is not bottle, and a beria is not bottle because it's a davar chashev. It's considered to be its own independent creation. It's a davar chashev. So there's a lot of mishnayos, different gemaras that discuss this. But if we look in source number 7, the din in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch writes beria, the hainu could go in the mala, a beria like an ant. Of tame the gid hanashe, our case the gid hanashe, this sciatic nerve which can be, I guess, very small. The aver menachai ubeitza sheish ba'afrach. So first he says not batal even be'elef. Even 1 to 1,000, you have beria against 1,000, it's not batal in kashi. You can't be batal it. And then he defines it. He says, what's a beria? First of all, there has to be something that's alive. Two, has to be something that's usher from the time that it came into existence, not something that was mutter and became usser afterwards. And three, tzarech shehei davar shalem. It needs to be something that's shalem. Shim yachlak, yachalek ein shmo alav. That if it would be broken up, it would lose its status. It wouldn't be called that same thing. La'afuke chelev, like chelev, I guess you have fats and you have a fatty thing, and if you break up the fats, it's still called fat. So that's to exclude chelev, but something that loses its status, loses its name, it's not called by its name, if you break it up, that's a din of beria. Gid hanashe is a beria. Gid hanashe is a beria, and therefore, because gid hanashe is a beria, even if, as the chinuch wrote at the end, over alev, achol gid echad, afilu pachos mikazayis, you eat a gid echad, less than a kazayis, you get, you're violating itzid daraisa, osha achol mikazayis, mida gid hanashe gada loka. You eat an entire, gid hanashe, you violate the Isser Daraisa, even if it's less than a Chazayis. It's the Chiddush of Beria. So there's a Taz that discusses a little bit about, you know, the fact that Beria, the Chashivas of Beria, the fact that it's not Batal, is a Din Darabanan, not a Din Daraisa. There's a Shach here that talks about what about the case of Nevela and Trefa, and goes back and forth. But that's relates back to what the Chinuch writes. And there's an interesting Chiddush before we get to the Sherish HaMitzvah, the Hashkafa of the Mitzvah here, of Tosos in source number 10 that comes up, Halacha L'Maisa, perhaps. So, it does, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's very interesting. You have these, you have some foods that sometimes we don't know the bracha. Or, it's a huge machlokas, and so some Rabbanim might say not to eat it, because, you know, we can't figure out what bracha is, or say brachos on something else, to pater it. Don't eat that food because you can't get the bugs out of it. All these different ideas. And you know, it's hard to understand them, because it's like, really, Hashem created these foods, and He wants us to eat them. But maybe when there is a suffix, we'll have a raya here from Tosfos himself, that in the Shulchan Aruch, the way Paskins, you should abstain. You should abstain. And obviously everyone should ask the local Orthodox rabbis when it comes up to like L'maisa Shailas, but based on Beria, look what Tosfos says, in source number 10, Tosfos writes, he takes it L'chumra in a different way. He says that if you have a whole grape, which he considers to be a beria, which is interesting because it's not davar chai, right? It's lacking that aspect. It's a big machlokas rishonim, how many aspects of beria there are and which ones are required. But if you have a grape or a pomegranate seed, which is a beria, it's an independent object in and of itself, and you eat it, so maybe you're chayiv then in a bracha achrona. We know generally you're not chayiv until you have a shir. But again, maybe beria breaks all the rules. It breaks all the rules when it comes to Yisurim. Breaks all the rules when it comes to brachos. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 11 in Siman Reish Yud. Shulchan Aruch tells us, based on beria, Yesh mistakim lomar shal davar shuk kibriyasa kagon, and I tried to look up these words, and if anybody knows exactly what they mean, that'd be great. Kagon gargir shal anav, o shal rimon.
One grape.
Gargir means one.
Gargir is like a seed or
a seed of the grape.
Kernel.
A seed or what?
The seed of the grape.
The grapes. Seed of the grape.
No, they have grapes.
Yeah. Grape. That's why I was confused, because I saw seed, but I think in that one grape.
It means a grape, yeah.
I think you're right, that the pure definition is a seed. That's why I was a little confused, but I think in this context, the Shulchan Aruch probably, what?
Gar-in.
Well, right, so that's what the Ramah says after. Okay, so he says, but there's a suffix, Shana Basharim Shimavarch and Akhar of Afati Shain Bokzais, the Khach, Nochli Zarshallah Derya Pachos Mikzais. That's what Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, because of the sofik, person shouldn't just eat one grape. You want, and this is an important halacha. So you want to eat grapes? You can't just have one grape. You should have a couple of grapes so you have the proper shear to be able to say the bracha of Alayitz afterwards. That's the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah talks about Velomekir Birya, Elim Achlu, Kamusha Hua, Valim Laka, Chagarim, Iman, Velomekir Birya. That could be the seed. I'm not sure. The Garin.
You're correct. He's correct.
Okay.
Garin is the seed in the.
Is the object is like itself, right?
Yeah, because Taisa says preda. Preda means one single unit.
Right, preda means like something separate in of itself. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a very, very interesting topic here about Beria. So we start off talking about Gidanosha. Gidanosha, what's it have to do with us? We're not shechtim, we're not butchers. We don't want to pull nerves from animals. But Lamaisa, we have this huge fundamental machokas, Rashi and Rav, about how mitzvahs are learned out. Then we have this whole discussion here about Beria. It's very fascinating. Let's conclude with, I think, what's for me at least the most amazing aspect of Gidon Asher, and that is the Shor HaMitzvah of the Sefer HaChinuch and some ideas on it. So the Shor HaChinuch writes as follows: Mishor Shem Mitzvah Zu, Kedei Shetia Remez Yisrael She'af Al Pishi Yisblutzor Shabbos Bagalios Miara Amim. So the Shor of the Mitzvah, the root, at the root of the Mitzvah, is even though Bnei Yisrael is going to go ahead and suffer many tribulations and bad things in Golos from other nations, Miyad Bnei Esav, Shiyo Betuchim Shelo Yovdu. Right? They should know that they're never going to be destroyed. Elo La'olam Yamod Zoram Ushma Miyav Elohim Gol V'Yigolam Yatzar. Right? They should go ahead though and remain assured that their name will endure forever, and eventually Mashiach is going to come. There's going to be a Goel who goes ahead and redeems us. Remez Zehu L'fi She'oso Malach. And here you go, Eli. Now we get back to understanding Malach, food, what's going on here? I don't have a great answer still, but I have hashkafic answers that the Chinuch and others write. This Malach was fought with Yaakov Avinu, Shebab Kabbalah Shai Sar Shal Esav, which was brought down in Kabbalah, was really the Malach of Esav. Rotzo li Akro li Yaakov Avinu Olam Huvizar Lo Yachala. He wanted to get rid of Yaakov Avinu forever. Brought down Chazal, that Malach, that Sar Shal Esav, had all the kochos of every single Yetzirah that existed in the world that tried to attack Yaakov Avinu. All of it was there in one Malach trying to be Miskaber and just destroy and defeat Yaakov Avinu, so Klai Yisrael would be gone forever. V'lo Yachola. He wasn't able to. V'tzar v'negiyas hayarech. But what did he do? He went ahead and he caused him pain by touching his thigh, by hitting his thigh. V'chein zera Esav mitzar l'zer Yaakov. And therefore the zera Esav, the descendants of Esav, are going to be mitzaros. They're always going to be mitzaros. Esa sunayas Yaakov halachahi. They're going to be there just like this set the precedent. This was the beginning for all future generations, all problems and tzaros Klaisa would have from the Bnei Esav, was from this battle. And they're always going to have that ability to be mitzaros because the Malach was miskaver in the sense of painting Yaakov, even though he didn't beat him completely, he wasn't yachol, he didn't defeat him. Lubasov tielahem yishumahem. But there's beautiful optimism as well. Yaakov walked away. Yaakov walked away. A couple of seconds later, he came shalom. He was Yaakov Avinu. He went on and he continued to do many, many incredible things with the rest of his life. So we know that even though we might be in pain in Golos, there's going to be a Yeshua. There's going to be a salvation. Kemo shematzinu ba'av, shezarcha lo Hashem shalom, aposav eno shem natzar. So just like the sun rose the next morning for Yaakov Avinu, and he walked away victorious in the war with the Malach, and he was saved from his tsar, the pain went away. We don't really hear about it, you know, later on. So too the Shemesh is going to come for us, and Mashiach is going to come and heal us from all of our pains, all of our suffering, all our sicknesses. The beautiful hashkafic idea from the Sefer HaChinuch about this concept of Gid HaNasha, and the idea of not eating from it. So let's, one very interesting point brought down in by Moshe Feinstein and Darsh Moshe on this Pasuk is in source number 13. He asks a question. He says, it's very strange. So that we remember the fight with Yaakov and the Malach, we shouldn't do something. We shouldn't eat from the Gid HaNasha. The Torah, usually, if we want to remember something, what do?
Party.
We do something. We eat matzah. We light Hanukkah candles. We go ahead and we celebrate. We have an aseh. You don't have a los aseh usually. What's going on here? A los aseh to commemorate something, to remember something? Very strange. Says Rav Moshe in source number 13. To remember the miracle that Yaakov beat the Malach who the Israel Achila the good Anasher shuhu b'sheiv al tase hipuch mikol anisim shehisker hu b'maisa. It's the opposite. Here it's a sheiv al tase. It's usually with a kumbi asay, with a maisa. So he says as follows, Rav Moshe. V'ulai mishum she'ash lamed b'nisyonos hagalus hu davar gadol ma'od v'yishchar harbi alze. Even though standing up to the nisyonos we have in Galus that was Miramis from this battle with the Malach is amazing when we stand up to the battles. And there's great schar for it. Aval yosir hainu rotzim shaleiz damilan nisyonos. But better than that would be if we didn't have the nisyonos. Kamo shetiknu l'esval d'chol yom b'brecha shashacha shalo novoli din nisayon. As we say every day in davening, shalo lidei nisayon. Hashem shouldn't bring nisyonos to us. Once we have them, we've got to deal with them. But better to be misval not to even have them. Therefore, for this specific nes, we are commemorated with an iser, not a mais. It's a great Indian to have nisyonos and to overcome them, to win the battle against the Sar Shal Esav. But we'd rather not have it. So we have an iser to represent that idea. I don't want it. I don't abstain from it. I don't want to deal with it. Better not to deal with it, but if I have to deal with it, I'll be misgaber. So that is Rav Moshe's idea, and he says, you know, and if they come, you have to be tzarech l'kava ba'ava. But a beautiful vart from Rav Moshe on the idea. If you look on the left, Rav Biederman here writes that this prohibition was given to us, so we remember that the Malach smote Yaakov in his battle. He gave him a good patch to walk away with some pain. Wouldn't it have been better for a mitzvah to remind us that Yaakov won the battle against the Malach? Again, the same question. But give us, Yaakov won. He walked away. So why are you remembering the pain that was inflicted on Yaakov? The Mefarshim say that this teaches us that we should expect to lose some battles against the Yitzhar. Rav Biederman, in his amazing, uplifting way of giving chizuk, he says we shouldn't expect to always be successful against the Yitzhar. We're going to lose. Sometimes we're going to lose. We fight. We try to win. But it's not going to be 100% of the time that that's going to be our success rate. Even Yaakov, you know, was harmed when he battled the Yitzhara. But when that occurs, we should continue fighting. We don't give up. That's considered success in the war against the Yitzhar. Mm-hmm. Beautiful idea from Rabbi Biederman as well. What the remez is of the Isser, of the Gid Anasha, to remind us that we can't win all the time. Yaakov walked away limping, he walked away in pain. Sometimes we're going to lose against the Yitzhar, but we don't give up. We keep fighting, and ultimately we miss Gaber, and we'll walk away. Last three Mefarshim is the Sforno, the Rashbam, and Rabbi Lam. So the Sforno just mentions, Kadesh Yiyah HaHezek, Asherhura begias kaf hayerech hezek bedaver bilti nechshav etzlenu. The reason that we don't eat the gidon asha is that the gidon asha is like it's dumb. I don't know. It's insignificant. It's a piece of an animal. The sayerech never might taste good or the parts around it, but we don't want to remember this hezek that happened to Yaakov Avinu in a very big way. But we want to remember it. But we do it in a way that's meaningless. In a way that like, okay, we'll have an iser not to eat a food. That's going to be the way. So that's what the Sforno explains. The Rashbam says, L'zichron v'rasa sheyakov v'neisha nasilo. Well, the reason that we have Al-Kain lo yochlu is to remember the fact that Yaakov Avinu won. So he actually takes the other way. He says that it's because of the miracle that Yaakov Avinu was victorious over the Malach, not that the Malach actually hurt Yaakov Avinu in the Kaf HaYarech. And Rabbi Lam, to conclude, in source number 16, says as follows. Well, he says, that's what, of course, is not simple, not effortless, and not painless. Spiritual growth, he talks about, is always accompanied by anguish. The title of this drasha he gave was Growing Pains. And he says that that's why the Torah in the portion tells us that Jews are not permitted to eat the good anasha. Because the angel hit Yaakov on the hollow of the thigh and the thigh vein. In other words, because in their struggle, Yaakov was wounded by the angel and suffered a dislocated hip, therefore we're not permitted to eat the sciatic nerve of animals. So says Rabbi Lam, that sounds more redundant than explanatory. What if the angel hit Yaakov? Is it out of sympathy with Yaakov as a victim that we refrain from eating the Gidonesha? We feel bad Yaakov got hit, so we're not going to eat from an animal? It's out of a sense of celebration of his triumph that he won? So Rabbi Lam suggests it's neither. We're commanded in this halacha out of admiration of Yaakov Avinu's struggle, because we're proud of his growing pains. It's a commitment to embrace such growing pains for ourselves as we attempt to emulate his adventures of growth from Yaakov to Yisrael. And he says that the Netziv, in his commentary, tells us that the Gid Anash is associated with the hip, which is situated at the top of the organ which moves as man walks. Meaning to say that the thigh vein is related to motion, to going, to progress, to growth. It's a symbol of dynamism, and the price one must pay for such struggle. So that's what we learn from the Gid Anash according to Rabbi Lam. It's the idea of growing pains. Yaakov Avinu grew through this experience, and that's what we all are to emulate as well. I saw the question from the Ron as well. As we know, the Ron writes that Hanukkah, we have 30 seconds, Hanukkah is on Kaf Hei Kislev, because Chanukah Kaf Hei, they rested on the 25th. It's quoted by Shem Rabbi Yashav in the Sefer Kamosi Shal Rav. We're celebrating that we won, or we're celebrating that we rested? We should be celebrating that we won. We won the battle. So what is Chanukah Kaf Hei? We rested on the 25th. Rabbi Yashav explains, no. A Jew doesn't want to be in battle. We don't want to fight. Like we said from Rav Moshe, if we had a choice, it's better not to fight. Lo lovo nidei nisayo. Once we have the nisayo, we don't have a choice, we have to fight. So Rabbi Yashi says, what do we celebrate on Hanukkah? It's not the nitzachon hamelchama per se. It's the fact that now we're back into a state of chanu b'chafeh. The fact that we're back in a state of rest. We're able to just now be left alone and to not have to deal with the avonim and fighting with them. And that's, I think, along many of the ideas and the theme that we discussed tonight. So we should all be zochet to that. This Klai Yisrael shouldn't have to deal with battles. And when we do, we should be miskaver like Yaakov Avinu and walk away with minimal pain, if any. And appreciate everyone coming. Have a beautiful Shabbos.